This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Alliance Bank presents you The Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Emulis Holdings Berhad is in the semiconductor business. They are principally involved in the design and development of what the industry calls automated test equipment, or the ATE. They are also involved in the outsourced semiconductor assembly and test, or OSAT. And at present, they are scheduled to be listing on the 15th of September this year. And they are expected to fetch a sizable amount of interest from the market. In the studio today with me, we have Ng Sang Beng, the Group Chief Executive Officer of Emulis Holdings Berhad. Good morning, Sang Beng.
Morning, Brahim.
Sang Beng, these times to be a very trying times for all of us. What was your thought process going into this market right now?
Ibrahim, and to me, it's that there will never be a right timing to go for listing. It's more towards if it fits into our business plan and in our growth plan, and that's what we are looking about. So we are looking for people who believe in us but for long-term investment. And rather than we will not look at things that are out of our control and short-term volatility.
Emulis' IPO involves the offering of 131 million ordinary shares at a par value of 10 cents each. The issue price will be at 20 cents per share, payable in full upon application. About 87 million shares are going to be made to the public. Right now, what is your confidence statement with regards to the market?
Of course, we were actually a little bit concerned over the market. But at the same time, we realized that the shares for employees and directors and our customer and vendors, it's all oversubscribed. And even for the placement shares, it's already oversubscribed and fully taken up. So now the last mile is actually on the public balloting. And we definitely hope for a good response on that. So to me, we stay optimistic and let's see how it goes.
Emulis Holdings, of course, is a major player in the semiconductor business. Could you share with us what your company does?
Emulis is one of a kind in the industry. And in the niche market that we are in, we are actually pretty strong after 11 years. The first thing that we talk about is about connectivity. So every time you make a phone call, you connect to your data plans, you surf your website, you check your emails on your phones, you upload pictures and stuff like that. When you do all this, it actually involves a group of ICs those are all wireless ICs that are communicating between your phones and the base station, like the Maxis Cellcom base stations, and that's where you talk to them, between the two devices.
Now, IC is integrated circuits.
Yes.
They are basically the brains of the semiconductor.
They are the one responsible for the wireless communication. So we aimless design the testers that someone will buy it and use it to qualify that those ICs work. That's what our job is, we make sure that those IC works.
And why is it that firms that do produce semiconductors require your services?
Because we want to make sure that any consumer electronics can go to the consumers. When you buy it, it must work. So every single IC in all these electronic gadgets, they all have to be tested one by one, and all of them, before it is being assembled into a phone or something else and being shipped to the customer. And there's another thing that I also want to highlight is that I talk about connectivity. I talk about when you use smartphones. That's where we actually involve. The second part is actually on the cloud computing. We take photos with our smartphones and stuff like that. And then we wanted to keep those phones. And what if you lost your phones? So most of the time, what we do is actually upload those photos into clouds. And where is the cloud? It doesn't reside in the air, but it's actually in a big data farm whereby they keep probably millions of hard disk drives that are enterprise, high-grade hard disks, that are reside in the data farm. And all your information is actually being stored there. So what we do is that we have a particular series of tester that we design that can be used to actually qualify a certain component inside the hard disk. And we make sure that the hard disk works. There's one IC in a hard disk. What it does is actually it converts your digital information into magnetic signals and the other way around.
Okay.
So this particular IC that we do, we actually test them and we make sure that they work.
This is an integral part of the semiconductor business.
Yes.
What other areas do you serve with regards to your services?
If you are actually listening to this conversation through in the podcast on the website, you are most likely using some of the electronics ICs that are being tested by Emulis.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So we can't get away from your services and products, exactly. Apparently. Any other wireless aspect can we talk about?
Wearables, very popular because they actually help and we are looking for wellness and stuff like that. So for example, you would like to detect your heartbeat. You know, you want to look at, is your sleep okay and stuff like that. You know, you use wearables. And inside wearables, there are certain components in it that are actually using our tester to qualify them. So that's where Emulus is playing in this business.
When we talk about Internet of Things, the collection of various data sources that are unstructured, would your business be able to be part of this process of collecting and sorting this kind of data?
Yes, we are in the Internet of Things, for sure. Because, you know, it starts from your gadgets that you're holding on your hands, your tablets and stuff like that, all the way to the data farm whereby you keep all your information, right? So this is all about the Internet of Things, and we are the one that's behind the scene and making sure that when you actually receive or you buy something off the shelf, it must work because we tested them.
Now, of course, in the year 2015, these are just things that we accept for granted, right? But you entered this business about 11 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, at 2004. What was the key impetus of you doing this back then when nobody even heard of even Gmail, I think?
Good question. Yeah, actually, I mean, myself together with my my partner, CK Yeo, both of us actually saw an opportunity, a very good opportunity, whereby at that point of time, you know, most of the testers in our test instruments were all dominated by the American companies and the Japanese. And there was literally none of local companies who was able to produce something like that. And of course, you know, we were fearless. We were thinking about, you know, we were just very gung-ho and we thought that we can do something wonderful. And two of us, of course, is not good enough. And I actually managed to convince some of my ex-subordinates to join me. And six of us, you know, within a year's time, we came out to replace some of the imports. And we took up the challenge and we designed from scratch. And after 6 to 9 months, we managed to come up with the first ever tester with our own architecture.
Now, getting funding at that stage in time must be very difficult. What was the motivator to get yourselves funded at that time?
It was actually self-funded. Each of us actually put in like, you know, 20,000, each of us. And then we got some funds and we were all, you know, looking for people to put money in. But 11 years ago, you know, it's not like now. You have a lot of, you know, internet companies that convince a lot of investors that they should invest in those companies. I must say that it was tough. And actually, in the first 2 years, we don't really get good funding. But there was a guy, one of my ex-managers back then in Altera. He walked to the door and he said that he wanted to invest in Emulus. And we were all laughing. It's like, what do you want to invest in? You know?
And what is it that needs to be invested?
So he was like, and we were like, wow, I mean, we can't believe that there is such a person in this world, right? Mm. And he said that, I wanted to invest in two of you because I know two of you. I believe that you guys are going to do something, you know.
I mean, from 20,000 per person to now over 130 million ringgit market capitalization, that is something. It's quite an extraordinary journey.
Definitely.
Now, of course, as you were mentioning, the landscape then was very different from today. One of the key changes that we have seen over the landscape is the advent of venture capital firms. One of the venture capital firms of interest is Teak Capital. In fact, Teak Capital is a VC management firm based in Malaysia, and they currently manage a bunch of firms. Some of them have gone to greater heights, like Groupon Malaysia,
yes.
Or at a time they were known as Group Small, and a bunch of other companies as well. How heavy is Teak Capital involved in your firm?
Teak Capital has probably around close to 10% pre-IPO in the company in terms of their involvement. But Teak Capital, it's being run by Ms. Chok Wee Wee, which is also the chairman of Emulus Holdings Berhad. The relationship between her and us has to roll back to 11 years ago. You know, when I really, you know, I resigned and I started Emulus, and then I was running around looking for people to fund the company. And in one of the events, they call it called something like a first Monday of the month networking session. That was the first time that I met Ms. Chok, and then I pitched about the company. And she said that, oh, come and see me 2 days later or something like that. So I went to see her and explained to her. And she was actually very kind enough because I actually went to KL from Penang every 2 weeks to a month, continuously doing it and getting sort of free consultation from her. And she will actually ask us to do like, okay, why not you go and do market research of what you want to do? Because Aimless started not to design tester. You will think about something else, some software stuff. So that was what she actually told us, that, you know, you should do your homework and stuff like that. So we went back to her and then keep doing that. And there was a very fantastic day. We went back to see her and told her that, okay, we have done our market research on this software thing. And she said, what do you think? And we told her that, I think no one will buy our product. She said, exactly. So it was like, but Aimless has started, right? And at that point of time, you know, I was still alone and my wife was pregnant. And everyone else around you will be telling you that, hey, enough playing. Because 6 months, we are going nowhere, right? I'm just typing, writing business plan and trying to raise funds. I said, now you tell me that I can't sell my product, you know, and no one's going to buy. And what should I do now? And she said, go and talk to your customer. I said, don't we even have a customer, isn't it? She said, just go and talk to someone, talk to the industry and see who wants. It was a extremely, you know, it's like the lowest point in our life. Because I left, you know, everyone else think that after 6 months, if you're doing nothing, why not you go back to work? I can understand everyone's concern and thing. And
particularly if, you know, you have an expectant child and so on.
Exactly. And at that point of time, it's just right, you know, when you get hit many times, right? So my elder brother was like, he was in Singapore and he was very concerned and he cares, right? So he called me and said, do you know that your wife is pregnant and, you know, you need money? So I told him that, I thought for a while and I said, let me ask you a question. If you consider now until when the baby is born, baby go to school and university, when do you think that my burden will be the lowest? Now. Exactly. I said, thanks for reminding. And I want to be persistent on what I want to do. Because of that, you know, it's sort of, I'm a person that I want to turn around a situation. When I am on the, not at the upper hand, I want to turn around a situation. It's just in me, right? So next morning, I woke up and I told myself, said, okay, Quibi says that, go and talk to someone. You know, I didn't really have contact at that point of time. So I was like, luckily, you know, I managed to meet someone. And it's actually a company who's making some machines. So I went to see him and asked him, hey, what do you need? I got this software stuff. And he said that, oh, I don't need all this. And I said, what do you need? He said, I need a tester. I said, okay, what is a tester? And he said, a tester that can test camera modules units used in phones and stuff like that. I went back and talked to my partners and we discussed about that. And we learned that, you know, to have a tester company, you need probably like 20, 30 people. You need to have software, hardware, integration, mechanical, a lot of stuff. And yep. Take 2 years to design one. Because it's all being done by dominated by the Americans. So we were challenged, right, with all these challenges and all these factors. And none of us have a tester background, to be honest. Tester design background. But then both of us agreed on one thing. As in that we agreed that, do we still believe in this venture, no matter what it is? And both of us said, yes, we do. And we pursue. And I went back to see him and I told him that I will be able to design a tester. And he said, okay, if you can do it, I'm going to give you, I'll give you a chance to try it. And that's why we got the contract and I started calling my ex-subordinates, asking them to join. They joined. In 6 to 9 months, we designed the first ever tester using the Avalanche architecture.
At this point in time, how many staff or partners or
we
founders
have
did you have?
91 employees.
At that time?
At that time, we have 6.
Right.
Yep.
Chok Quibi was in the process the whole time or?
She was actually, but she didn't invest in us. But she has been giving very good guidance until when she managed her own funds, which is actually Tick Capital. That's where somehow we met. You know, my CFO have a chance and to, you know, bump into her and then we start talking. And she has her fund and she wanted to invest in some good prospects company. And that's when she came in, probably 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. And of course, T Capital at that time then invested in your firm.
Yes.
So how much would they invest in your firm?
2 million.
2 million ringgit. And at pre-IPO, they have about 10% equity. This has grown from your one customer, you have grown.
Yes.
And majority of them are in Malaysia or internationally?
Most of them are actually international global MNCs. Whereby last year, we had probably about between 60 to 65% of exports. But for the locals, majority of them are actually global MNCs.
But based in Malaysia.
Exactly.
Could you share with us your experience in entering these markets? Because you are in Singapore, China, US, South Korea, Philippines, Thailand, even Germany. What are the obstacles that you had to navigate to get clients in these countries?
First of all, you have to be good. Right, the product has to be something that is not just that it must work. It must be fast enough, giving you very good performance. And you know, the most important part in this industry is that we talk about cost of test. As in the lowest cost of test doesn't mean that you are selling cheap. Okay, this is what we did. We are actually doing pretty well in the US and China for this particular tester. For example, you know, we have one of the RF testers that are actually.
RF means radio frequency, that is.
Exactly, radio frequency. So what it does is that it makes sure that anything that is wireless works.
If you have just joined us this morning, we are with Ng Sang Bang, Group CEO of Amulus Holdings Berhad. Amulus is, of course, on the brink of being listed on the ACE Stock Market Exchange. When we come back, we'll talk about government assistance with your firm and how to take your company forward with these IPO proceeds. You have been listening to me, Ibrahim Sani, on The Breakfast Grill for BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You are with me, Ibrahim Sani, and this is The Breakfast Grill. This morning, we are with an interesting company called Amulus Holdings Berhad, where they are on the brink of being listed at the ACE Stock Market Exchange. Together with me this morning is the Group CEO of Amulus, Ng Sang Bang. Your firm, Sang Bang, was quite the interesting firm from a small company now that has grown into a market capitalization of 100 million ringgit. Did you receive some sort of reliance on governmental bodies, in, for instance, MIDA and MATRADE?
Yes, we did. I think that for the semiconductor industry, the government is serious about them. And you can, as what you can see, the practical things that they do in MIDA and MATRADE. So when you look at MIDA, they wanted to invest in, together, you know, with the companies in our R&D. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to look at something that is already happened in the past. They wanted us to innovate, to come up with new products. So we got this grant from MIDA. We wanted to design a new RF radio frequency tester platform. They actually invested, and then they gave us, you know, in a sense of grant. And then from there, because of the grant, it gives us the confidence to say that if my pace of developing a new product is going to take 2 years or 3 years, with this grant, I'm going to cut it down to just 50% or 60% of the time. So that was actually a very important thing, and it's like a catalyst to help us to actually go into the R&D and give us the confidence to say that let's just do it.
When you talk about practicality and assistance, how is it scheduled?
The way that the grant is being done is actually it's like a one-to-one. It's on a reimbursement.
Right. So if a project cost 1 ringgit, MIDA would pay 50 cents.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Right. And is this working for you?
It works very well. We are very happy with that. And we are also seeing results because of this investment.
And right now, let's talk about the issue of your business per se. What do you see you will do once you get the proceeds from the IPO?
Sure, Ibrahim. What we are raising around 24 million ringgit from this IPO exercise, most of it actually, 50% of it actually goes into the working capital. But the more interesting part is actually the 6 million that we allocated for the R&D activities. In these R&D activities, for this 6 million, there are actually some of the money we will actually use it to set up something called, we call that as a tester research laboratory or tester research lab. For this tester research lab, the more important part is that we will put a lot of focus on the research rather than development. Because in our line of business, we have to stay abreast with the trend of the technologies and we have to stay ahead of what is happening. Because, for example, we talk about LTE, 4G LTE right now, and we have to prepare ourselves for 5G because it's going to be commercialized in the next few years. So we have to get ourselves ready, and this research lab will be a key milestone for Amulus because, you know, we used to have a big development and small research. Now we want to go into big research and smaller development.
How is your company organized? Considering that you have clients from across the country, does it mean you also have offices in these countries as well?
No, we do not. What we do is that all the sales and marketing activities, customer support activities, and communication with customers, you know, we fly our guys around the globe. All right. Amillus is a company that we have pretty good margins, as in gross margin. And the core of the business actually relies on the brain of the people. So in other words, we have good gross margin. Mm-hmm. And naturally, you will know that the US dollar strengthening is actually helping us.
You were mentioning that 6 million ringgit from the proceeds will be used for R&D. And of course, it's not just about the money with regards to R&D, it's about the people as well. A lot of companies in the Silicon Valley, for instance, they have Stanford University, they have access to other universities where the brain pool is very rich. Do you see yourself having the kind of access to these talents here in Malaysia?
I think that in the industry that we are in, it's not easy to get the exact talent, but we want to attract smart people with the correct mindset. Because being an engineer, you really have to think out of the box. Back then, you know, every one of us, when we were in school, our mother would tell us that if you get 99 marks, then she would say that, what is happening to you? You can't even achieve that one mark. Is that so difficult? But in this industry, it's not about achieving the 100 marks. You have to achieve 1,000 marks. Because it's really about thinking out of the box, and we cannot be confined by what we already know. So what we need is actually to get smart people with the correct mindset. And that's where they come into Amillus and they start to learn to think out of the box and to come up with new technology themselves.
That was Ng Sang Bang, Group CEO of Amillus Holdings Berhad. Sang Bang, do you have expectations that you want to share with your investors coming up from this IPO?
Sure, Ibrahim. Amillus, as you know, that we are one of a kind and we are competing heads-on with the global players. The funding of the IPO is just another way to fund a company, to fuel the growth of the company. And we are looking at exponential growth in the next many, many years. And we hope that our investors will come in, believe in us, and they like technologies, and they believe that technology is going to change the history of mankind. And they want a company, those who anticipate who is going to produce something very different, and this is going to be Amillus. And we would want long-term investors who believe in us. And the first thing is actually, I know I'd like to thank those people who actually put in money, those angel investors, those tech capitals, you know, those people who believe in us like in the early days. That's definitely, this is actually an endorsement for them as well. The second part is actually those guys who have actually followed me along the journey. Just to name a few of them, like CKO, my partner, Wong Shi Kian, Ong Chun Tian, Lo Bok Siu, Moi Xin Fei, Kan Kai Wen, and also Ng Chin Hua and Tan Yi Jiang. So these are all the, I call them as different waves of pioneers who come into the company and make all this successful and happen.
They must have stayed on with your conviction because, again, this is a story that started with very humble beginnings who now have 130 million ringgit market cap.
Yeah, let's see how it goes.
All right. Good luck with that IPO, Sang Bang. You've been listening to Ng Sang Bang, Group CEO of Amillus Holdings Berhad. In the next few weeks, we'll launch their listing at the Malaysian stock market. You have been listening to me, Ibrahim Sani, on The Breakfast Grill for BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by Alliance Bank. Banking made personal. A total banking relationship that rewards you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.